Yeah, I'm ready to go when you are. I'd like to introduce you to someone who is a very good friend of mine, Tony Earnshaw, Leeds artist. Any of you know him? Well, hand in the air if you know Tony and his work. Yay, a few of you. Excellent. Born 1924, died 10 years ago. First anarchist in my life, first surrealist in my life, first proper artist in my life. This was Tony in about 1930, I think when he was 6 or 7, adventurous lad. He was off to look for America and he thought he might find it on Ilkley Moor. So that was him with a friend of his off looking for the great United States. Wonderful picture taken about 1930. This was Tony, probably in his mid-40s, with his family who used to live in Leeds. Looks like a fairly normal guy, doesn't he? Wife, two kids and a cat, a bit like myself. He saw himself as a scruffy lad with nothing much to offer. No talent, no ability, just his eternal restlessness, he called it. And he used to drive cranes. And when he was in the cranes in the factories, he would sit sketching images on his thigh, and the images would be of cracked plaster in the wall that he then distort into images like this one from 1952, The Citizen, and this one, The Man with His Own Sun and Moon. He taught himself to paint, completely self-taught, no lessons, no art school, and produced, I think, at this stage, some really quite phenomenal images. Big break number one was 1966, when the Leeds Gallery Institute just over the way gave him an exhibition. He exhibited 80 pieces. The headline was Factory Hands Enigmatic Watercolours. And people started to notice that this was a working class guy who learned how to paint and had done some relatively interesting stuff. Bradford Art College gave him a job, just a day a week. But back then, in that day a week, he could earn the same amount of money that he earned doing a 50-hour working week driving the cranes. The liberation that this gave him and the understanding that this gave him just transformed his life. So first, the opportunity to exhibit good work. Second, the opportunity to get some financial freedom and explore his art. Absolutely critical in doing what he went on to do. Big series of social realism stories. The caption at the bottom, for those of you at the back, says, one of these rats is a politician. You can work out which one. He was born into a family that became bankrupt. There were jewelers who became bankrupt. He wasn't that enamored with the whole enterprise and the commercial market. His black sense of humor produced images like that one, the top hat on top of the smokestack. His secret alphabet, some of my favorite work that he did, engravings that he did in the 70s, the whole idea that there was a secret world out there and a secret language. Tony once said that when he discovered surrealism, it was like coming home from a foreign land. Walker was a character he did for a year for the Times Educational Supplement, 52 streams. This one, Walker discovers a beautiful place in the country. What does Walker do, being a bit like a human being? He decides he'll occupy it, he'll make it his home, and he'll set up a scarecrow to keep other walkers away. A little bit about collaboration, a bit of a theme of mine. Anyone recognize the man on the right in both of those pictures? Thought you guys were artists. Patrick Hughes. Tony collaborated with Patrick and a number of other artists throughout his life. Patrick was horrified that Leeds Gallery didn't own any Earnshaws. This is a piece that Tony did where he spent about a month and a half walking the streets of Leeds, picking up every comb he found in the gutter, labeling it and mounting it. And it is a demographic study of the city. Patrick Earnshaw and his cronies paid about 10 grand for it, gave it to the art gallery. The art gallery said, whoa, hang on, this is an apocryphal story, may not be true. The art gallery said, whoa, that's a bit too political. It shows Leeds as a divided city. We have posh combs from Roundhay and broken combs from Gipton. We'll have this piece instead called Raider's Bread, which is a stone, the archetypal tool of the smash and grab merchant who used to earn their bread on a day-to-day basis living in a divided city. They thought the combs was a subversive picture? Wow. Patronage. Tony was lucky enough in his latter years to be collected by people like George Melly, Damien Hirst. Patronage, incredibly important, but only once he got good at art. The kind of patronage finished the quality. I love this piece, Crusoe's Dream, it's called. He's got a man's footprint in the sand. What he wants is locked away behind the safety glass, a damn sexy stiletto. He had a wicked sense of humor. He photocopied this frontispiece from the Teach Yourself series, took out Teach Yourself Archery and replaced it with Teach Yourself Ignorance. And anyone that pissed him off, he'd send this to you, saying, I'm really glad you've thoroughly digested the contents of this epic book. He got a cease and desist letter after a while. I mentioned a little bit about Tony being a great anarchist, the first real sort of anarchist who made any sense to me. And this is one of his later images, and I thought a really fun one. You know, the idea of the pirate ship, the black ship, but made out of blotting paper. I mean, just genius. 1999, he was aware that things weren't going so well. His health had slipped away, but he produced some absolutely tremendous art. The one thing he wanted to do with art, he didn't care about the aesthetics, as long as it provoked a reaction. And those of you that know me on Twitter, on the blogs, that's what I aim to do. I'm not worried about the aesthetics, as long as I get a bloody reaction. Love it, hate it, agree, disagree, I just want a reaction. This is the last picture where, you know, just Tony meeting his nemesis, Walker. And